We are so glad you're here. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all of our visitors. The ushers were saying, man, a lot of visitors today. They kept having to put out more and more chairs. So, man, we're so excited about that. Welcome. We're glad you're here. If you're looking for a church home, man, we've been looking for you. So we're all in the right place today. Excited to get in to the Word this morning. First service, we had all sorts of technical difficulties. So the video guys are recording second service to make up for all of the dumpster fire that was first service. So what that means is you've got to, even if you don't like the message, just amen and clap and laugh at all my bad dad jokes so that it sounds good on YouTube, because that's all that matters, right? Sounding good on YouTube, just kidding. I was looking out over the last, well, it was 2019 and 2020, and there's one Bible verse that I use more than any other Bible verse. Like, it's the most common verse, and you would assume it'd be John 3:16 or something like that, or Revelation 3:20, but I have, more than anything, I don't know how it slips into every message, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So let me give you that, verse 1 and verse 2, because I think I've been giving you a disservice. I think I've been reading you the verse, but I haven't really been giving you practical tools to apply it to your life. So that's what I want to do today. Romans chapter 12, Paul says this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters at Uncommon Church, I plead with you, I'm begging you, give your bodies to God." Why? Because of all he has done for you. "Let your body be a living and a holy sacrifice." And I want to remind you, in the ancient world, they would literally kill animals, you know, bulls and goats and sheep, as a sacrifice to God. So Paul is telling us, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to be alive, but dead to sin. And this is the kind of sacrifice that the Lord will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2, this is the one I do a lot. "Don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world. Instead, let God transform you." Well, I want to be transformed by God. How does that happen? He's going to transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And it's only then that you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good. God's will for you is pleasing. God's will for your life is perfect. So what the Apostle Paul is telling the church in Rome is this: our thought life is the key to unlocking sacrificial worship, holiness in our lives, and doing God's perfect will, not just on Sunday morning for an hour, but every single day. How we think affects our life. And as much as I've used this verse, I've never really explained it in a practical way. What does a transformed mind look like? And that's what I want to talk about today. Because I haven't really made it practical. I've never given you a litmus test. How can I determine if my thoughts have been transformed by God or if there's still a little bit of work to do? Because I know we want, if you love God, if you're a churchy church person, you want to think godly thoughts. You want to have the Holy Spirit help you think. But sometimes, as good as we are, as good as we try, we still think sinful thoughts. Now, Paul also dealt with this in the book of Romans. He said, those who are dominated by their sinful nature, well, they think about sinful things. But those who are, look at this, controlled by the Holy Spirit. If this were 1990, I'd tell you to underline that in your Bible. But on your phone app, just double-click it and highlight that one for later. Our thoughts should be what? Controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we would think about things that please the Holy Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind, it's going to lead to death. But letting your spirit control your mind, well, that's going to lead to life and peace. So what I want you to do is examine your thought life. Does your thought life please the Holy Spirit? Your thought life, and when you're in your own quiet moments, would you want what you're thinking to be broadcast on a big screen and you're sitting on the couch with Jesus, watching the things that you think? Or sometimes do you think things that you'd be like, whoa, don't look at that, Jesus, I'm sorry, I thought that. Because the key to a transformed life is that the Holy Spirit would control our mind, control our thoughts, not our flesh, not our fears, not our emotions. And here's the question: why did Paul write this to Christians? He wrote this to the church in Rome. He wasn't writing this to unbelievers. He was writing to believers that struggle with their thought life. And he's encouraging believers to remind themselves of the goodness of God. Remind yourself to what the Holy Spirit speaks over you. Because sometimes, even good Christians will remind ourselves of fear, of addiction, of anger, of pride, of lust, of greed. And we get down a road that the Bible said leads to death, but we can turn back to life and peace and godliness in our minds if we would surrender control to the Holy Spirit, He will remind us of who we are in Christ. He will remind us, He'll train our thoughts to think differently. So the question is, what should we be thinking about? Paul told this, here's what you should think about. He told this at the church in Colossae, Colossians chapter 3. He said, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights, set your perspective, set your vision on what? The realities of heaven. And it's in that place is where Christ is seated in the place of honor next to God's right hand. Look at verse 2. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. Why? Because you have died to this life. You're still alive, but you're not living for this world. You're living for another world. Because you have died to this life, and your life is now hidden with Christ. So remind yourself of the reality of heaven, that you've died to this world, and that you're alive to the reality of heaven. So what you think about should be what heaven thinks about. What you value should be what heaven values. And too often, we end up trusting our carnal, our worldly thoughts, our fearful thoughts, our sinful thoughts more than we trust God. We trust our gut feelings more than we trust what the Word of God says. And the reality of the world around us becomes more real to us than the reality of heaven. This Tuesday is going to mark the one-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death when he and his daughter were on their way to a basketball tournament outside of L.A., and it was in dense fog, and they hit a mountain. You knew 2020 was going to be bad when Kobe died in the first couple days of 2020. But what happened was the NTSB, they guess, their best estimation, is that the pilot, who was an experienced pilot, he suffered something called spatial disorientation. Now, spatial disorientation is something that happens common to pilots of helicopters or planes when they get into dense fog and they can't see what's up and what's down. And the pilot will begin to feel things in their inner ear. They'll feel things in their gut. And they think that the plane is level and climbing, but it's actually upside down and descending. So that's why every aircraft, helicopters, planes, they all have two sets of matching identical gauges. The altimeter, which shows how high the aircraft is, and the attitude, which shows the pitch. You know, it's a horizontal artificial horizon. Now, why would they have two of this gauge? Because sometimes a pilot will trust their gut feeling more than they'll trust the gauge. So they'll bump the gauge, but then they'll give them a second gauge that says the exact same thing because they're trying to remind the pilot, don't trust your feelings, trust the instruments. Because your inner ear, your gut, you're going to feel like gravity is one way, but in fact, you're upside down and about to crash. The same thing happened to JFK Jr. He was flying a small plane off the coast of Martha's Vineyard in 1999 and put it down in dense fog into the ocean, and they guessed that he was actually upside down when he hit the water because of spatial disorientation. Two gauges will remind you of reality, remind you of the truth, because both gauges can't be wrong. So sometimes we feel things. We feel things deeply. And in our hearts, in our minds, the way we think about it, to us, it's the truth. But it's actually a lie. And it's leading you to death. Because in our life, if they're not submitted and controlled by the Holy Spirit, our minds will lead us down a path of fear, of loneliness, of anxiousness. And sometimes we will feel worthless. We will feel like a failure. We will feel unwanted. We will feel fat. We'll feel ugly. We'll feel stupid. But the reality is that you're none of those things. You're feeling something very strongly that's actually a lie. So you need to learn to remind yourself of heaven's gauges and what God thinks about you. And you're putting on the perspective of heaven. See, when you're down here on the world, we see things from a worldly perspective. But when you would look from heaven's perspective, when you would get that 30,000 foot view, things look totally different. Because it's like putting on heaven's glasses and you're focusing and your perspective changes on what you're looking for in life. I want to give you a quick example. Here's a photo on the screen. I want you to count the number of blue umbrellas. All right, take the picture down. Here's my question. How many orange umbrellas were there? You're like, wait, you tricked me. My perspective was for blue umbrellas, so I counted 1, 2, 3. Yeah, but there were 4 orange umbrellas that you didn't see because you were not trained to see it. You will miss what you're not looking for. And perspective changes the things that you focus on. Perspective changes the things that you think about. So what the Bible is saying is you need to have heaven's perspective, not the lenses of this world. To think godly thoughts, you need to think of holy things, pure things, righteous things, faithful things, not fearful things, sinful things, things that an orphan would think. You need to think like royalty. And why do I say royalty? because you have been adopted into the family of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is your Father in heaven. So therefore, you are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. You're a follower of Jesus. So you don't think like on this world. You think like royalty. You think on another level altogether. John chapter 8, Jesus said this. If you are truly my disciples, Uncommon Church, you will remain faithful to my teachings. Listen, I love verse 32. You all know this verse. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, I want to talk about that word truth, because that's your gauge. That's your reality that you're setting your life and your thoughts to live by. I looked up the word truth in the Greek. This is going to blow your mind. You ready? The word truth means truth. I should do this for a living. There's a second definition. The very second definition of the word truth that Jesus used right here is reality. And Jesus said, if you will learn to know heaven's reality for your life, that reality will set you free. Now, how do we get to that point in verse 32? Go back to verse 31. If you remain faithful to the teachings of Jesus, a student of Jesus, learning from Jesus, studying the Bible. Now, how are we going to be faithful to the teachings of Jesus? Maybe come to church once or twice a month if it's convenient, play on your phone, and maybe I'll read a verse of scripture about Jesus and you might catch it a little bit. That's probably the best way to fail as a Christian. You need to be one that opens your Bible on a Monday, not because the preacher says you have to, but because you want to be faithful to the teachings of Jesus. You need to be one that reads your Bible on a Thursday afternoon on a lunch break for no other reason that you want to be faithful to the teachings of Jesus. And what's going to happen? The more you're faithful to the teachings of Jesus, that truth will become your reality, and that reality will set you free from addiction, free from sin, free from fear, free from loneliness. It all comes by changing your thought life. And God's reality becomes your truth, regardless of what the world says around you, regardless of what the economy says, regardless of what politicians say, regardless of what the media says, regardless of what Lady Gaga says, God's truth will become your truth to live by. How do we do that? Remind ourselves, rethink on the things of God, not the things of this earth. And it's going to save you from crashing your life into a mountain. You think you're climbing, but in reality, you're upside down and about to crash. I'm telling you, in 2021, there is hope for America. There is peace in my life. There is joy. I'm excited. Honestly, I am excited to be alive right now. The only other time that I would have liked to have been alive is during Jesus' time. And even then, I can't guarantee that I wouldn't have been one saying, crucify him, give us Barabbas. I hope that I'd be on the right side of that equation. But to be alive right now, I'm not in fear, I'm in faith. I'm not in anxiety, I'm in hope and joy because of what I want to see God do at Uncommon Church in the mid-cities and in our country. Man, I think it's a great time to be alive. I'm full of hope. Why? Because I'm thinking hopeful things. All right, all of that was an introduction, and I didn't give you any practical points for Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So let me read it again, and then we'll break it down a little more practically. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God do what? Transform you into a whole new person. How's he going to do it? By changing the way you think. I want to address something. This is not behavior modification. This is not you have to go to church. This is not you have to do certain things and you don't want to do other things. This is you voluntarily becoming a disciple. Just like the disciples, Jesus walked up to these 12 guys in various places around Israel. He said, hey, follow me. And they were like, okay. And they left everything to follow Jesus. And for 3.5 years, they studied him and they learned from him and they wrote down what he was saying and they transformed their lives by thinking like the teacher, thinking like the master. That's what we are. We are disciples. We are disciplined followers of Jesus. But being a Christian is not about changing your behavior. Old school church, old school religion said, you better get your butt in church or you're going to hell. You stop cussing, stop chewing, stop drinking, stop getting high, stop looking at porn, stop lusting, stop getting angry, stop sleeping with somebody you're not married to. Don't do this, do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, and you'll be a Christian, bless God. How many of you suffered the church of the 90s, amen? Come on, somebody. Thank God for freedom. Let me tell you something. God is not about behavior modification. He's about thought transformation. And he said, if you will transform your thoughts to stop thinking like the world, but thinking like heaven, I'll transform you into an entirely new person. It's like getting a firmware update for your whole life. You know, every once in a while, Apple sends you a new firmware update, and you got to learn all new things. It's like if you have an Android, I don't know what they do. Just like send rocks and papers, and you rub them together or something. I don't know. But it updates your firmware. So you look the same on the outside, but on the inside, you think different, you act different, you speak different. You're a totally different person. So that new person isn't going to get drunk. That new person is going to live holy. That new person doesn't sleep with somebody they're not married to. They don't lie. They don't get angry. Why? Because they've changed from the inside out, not the outside in. I'm not about behavior modification. I'm about thought transformation. You cannot change your life. You can change your mind. If you'll change your mind to think according to the Holy Spirit, God will transform your life. So the question that I want to go back to from Romans chapter 12 is your mind transformed? And how do you know if your mind's transformed? How do you know if you're on the right track? Is there a litmus test or something that I can point to and go, yeah, I'm doing well here, I'm not doing well there. So over the years, there's seven signs of a transformed mind that Bill Johnson and Chris Vallotton from Bethel Church in Reading have used. And I've heard them for years, but I'm like, how did I never write this down and give it to my people? So here are seven signs of a transformed mind. Number one, your mind will live in hope. That when there's things that go on in the world, your first thought is, that's going to work out well for me. I'm in hope. No matter what happens, well, hey, there was a car accident. That's going to work out well for me. Well, the economy crashed. That's going to work out well for me. This candidate won this election. Well, that's going to work out well for me. You got laid off. That's going to work out well for me. We always think the best, not the worst. That's a transformed mind. What's the best case scenario for my life? Too often, we act like Eeyore, and we're always looking for the worst case scenario. And we're belly button gazing like, woe is me. Life is so hard. That's not what somebody whose thoughts are controlled by the Holy Spirit thinks and talks like. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, we know that God will cause everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Let me tell you something. You are loved by God. God is not mad at you. You're God's favorite kid. He adopted you into his family so that he could begin working. Your hope is in the Lord. Your hope is in the reality of heaven. All things are going to work out well for you. The transformed mind lives in a place of hope. Now, here's where some people go, well, yeah, but sometimes bad things happen. Yes, sometimes they do, but that doesn't mean God's not on the throne anymore. Sometimes we walk on the top of the mountain, and sometimes we walk through the valley, but even in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because my God is with me. Number two, the sign of a transformed mind believes this: the impossible, totally reasonable. She's like, just because something seems impossible, it does not mean that it is. Why? Because our God is a miracle worker. Yeah. Luke chapter 1 said, nothing is impossible for God. So we don't want to limit God by what we think can be done. We want to lift our eyes and our heart and our thoughts to heaven where nothing is impossible for God. God will begin to work outside of the possible when we believe by faith that he is a miracle worker and that nothing is impossible for him. Yeah. Well, we look at somebody's life and they go, well, they're a heroin addict or they're an adulterer or they're a drunk or they're a liar or they're a thief. They'll never get right with God. Well, the cancer's too far gone. The COVID's too bad. They're too sick. They're never going to get healed. Well, that husband and wife, man, they've been fighting for 10 years. They're just married together to keep the kids happy. That marriage will never be restored. I'll never get that job. I'll never get that promotion. I'll never, ever, never, ever, ever. What you're doing is you're thinking worldly thoughts that God cannot move in your situation. We need to raise our attention and our thoughts higher than that, where our God can do the impossible. That the miraculous is totally reasonable. And you're like, yeah, I could totally see God healing and restoring that marriage. I could totally see that drug addict being set free. I could totally see that person getting blessed because I believe in the miracle working God. And what happens is you begin to celebrate other people. Let me give you an example. Let me test you a little bit. Have you ever heard of a testimony? Somebody's like, you know, on Facebook or whatever, hey, I had whatever, a hernia, and somebody prayed for me at church and I'm totally healed. And you're like, were you though? Not a transformed mind. A transformed mind says, yeah, and your faith is built. Lord, if you did it for them, you could do it for me. The transformed mind is full of hope, and the transformed mind believes that the impossible, totally reasonable. Number three, the transformed mind is at peace and does not worry. Man, you don't know how many Christians struggle with fear and anxiety, but I'll tell you something about fear and anxiety. That's actually easy. Having faith and trust in God, well, that's going to take some practice. You're going to have to put the work in for that. Oh, I'm so worried about COVID, or I'm worried about the economy, and I've been watching the news, and I think things are going to get bad. Well, I'm over here in a place of hope because 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says we're going to use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, God's mighty weapons. And what are those weapons going to do? Knock down strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Leave that verse up for a second, guys, because I want to explain what human reasoning is. Human reasoning is our speculation. Human reason is our knowledge that we've assembled from other people's lives and other people's bad luck and other interactions from past human interactions. We think, well, if that bad thing happened to them, it's probably going to happen to me as well. But the Bible says we need to think on a higher level and we destroy human reasoning because our faith is in God. So let me give you an example. Your wife's coming home from work, but she's late. And I don't mean like 10 minutes late. I mean like 2 hours late. Human speculation says, oh, I bet she got in a car accident. She's probably upside down on 183. I bet she went to the grocery store and got mugged coming out. We should have moved out of this stupid apartment a long time ago. You know what? There was that really hot guy at work. I'll bet she's cheating on me. That's human reasoning, human speculation based on what happened to other people. And it creates fear in us. And our world gets smaller and smaller, and we get very, very selfish. But when your mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit, you think kingdom thoughts. Your wife's late coming home from work. You're like, whoo, I'll bet she got held back to get a raise and a bonus and an extra week of vacation. I'll bet she stopped at the grocery store and was the 1,000,000th customer and got a $1,000 shopping spree. When your mind is renewed, you're always looking for hope, which then leads you to more peace. I know my God is protecting me. I know my God will provide for me. I know I can sleep well because Jesus is my Lord. Number four. The transformed mind says, I like myself, and I rejoice in my weakness. See, that baby likes herself. See, most people believe a lie, that nobody likes them. Therefore, we don't like ourselves. And we're like, listen, I know my own thoughts. I know my fears. I know my sin. I know my weakness, and I shame myself. Nobody else likes me, so I don't like myself. Let me help you. The Apostle Paul said this. The Lord gave him some sort of a thorn in the flesh, and Paul said it was to keep him from becoming proud. And he was wrestling with this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with the Lord. But here's what the Lord said about Paul's weakness. He said, Paul, my grace is all you need. My power works best, where? In weakness. So Paul said, well, then I'm going to be glad. I'm going to actually boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. So Paul said this, I actually take pleasure in my weakness. In all the insults and the hardships and the persecution, all the trouble I suffer for Christ, when I'm weak, then I am strong. God's power works best through our weaknesses. So if you've got weakness in your life, be glad about it, because that's an area that God can move in your life. If you were perfect in every area, then there'd be nothing for God to do through your life. But if you struggle with your self-confidence, or you struggle with doubt, you struggle with fear, you struggle with sin, you struggle with jealousy, you struggle with anger, you struggle with addiction, yay! That's a weakness that God can move through. So be happy about it. And you should embrace it and be like, this is where God's moving in my life. I struggle with this, but I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to embrace it because that's an area that God can transform me. Can I tell you why? God loves you. He's crazy about you. It's okay that you're not good at everything. And it's okay that you can't do everything amazing. Stop comparing yourself with other people that have different giftings. Like, don't lay awake at night and we're like, oh man, I wish I was, you know, wise like Moses, or I wish I could worship like King David, or I wish I could preach like Billy Graham. When we get to heaven, I don't want God to say, hey Brad, how come you weren't more like a saint of old? I don't want him to say, hey Brad, how come you weren't the Brad that I created you to be? Just be you, boo. It's okay to like yourself. That's freedom for every seventh grade girl right there. It's okay to like yourself. It's okay to think you're pretty. It's okay to think you're handsome because you're amazing. You're God's favorite kid. When God gets up in the middle of the night and goes to the fridge in heaven, your picture is on the fridge. You're his favorite kid. When you walk into a room, you make the room better. When you walked into this church today, some of you are first-time visitors, you made our church better just by walking in the room today. Remember, stop belly button gazing. Lift your eyes to heaven. And in heaven, he thinks you're so valuable that he sent his only begotten son because of his great love for you to die on a cross for you. So if you're that valuable to God, you're that valuable to us. God loves you and you should love you too. Recap. Transformed mind is full of hope. Transformed mind thinks the impossible is totally reasonable. The transformed mind is at peace and does not worry. The transformed mind says, I like myself and I actually rejoice in my weakness. Number five, the transformed mind is quick to forgive and freely extend grace when wrong. Listen, we all get wronged in life. People say stuff about us. People hurt us. People abuse us even. But how we respond depends on what our thought pattern is. We do something here at Uncommon Church. We pre-forgive. The people that are close to us in our lives, we pre-forgive them. We walk in forgiveness. It's not that we're expecting them to hurt us, but if they do, our response is forgiveness. If somebody says something they shouldn't say, we forgive them. If somebody hurts us, we forgive them. We're not looking for an offense. And if we see an offense, we're not going to go pick it up and hold on to it. Oh, I'm so mad at that person for hurting me. Woe is me. This is my little offense that's hurting me. The transformed mind is humble. The transformed mind offers forgiveness, offers grace to anybody that's hurt us. Why? Because none of us are perfect. I see a lot of visitors. If you're looking for a perfect church, just keep on trucking. Because this church is not made up of perfect people. This church does not have a perfect pastor. Don't have to amen that so much. So why do we extend grace to others? Because one day we're going to need forgiveness. One day we're going to need grace. And when you carry unforgiveness, it's like you're drinking poison and then hoping somebody else dies. But all that's happening is you're destroying yourself from the inside out. It'll rob you of your future joy and peace because of your unforgiveness in the past. Well, preacher, you don't understand the pain I've been through. Listen. I understand that Jesus was nailed to the cross by the Roman soldiers, and when the cross was hoisted up, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them. So if Jesus can forgive the very soldiers that nailed him to the cross, we can forgive those that have hurt us. We can forgive those that have abused us even. We can forgive those that have stolen from us, that have lied about us, that have hurt us. We can release that pain that we feel every day in the act of grace and forgiveness. We're going to let go of that debt. We're going to walk in grace. We're going to walk in honor for people. We're going to walk in blessing for people because that's what the transformed mind does. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, Jesus said something that messes with my theology. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. That verse messes with me because all of us have had friendships fail. Some have had marriages fail. Some have had relationships with siblings or parents or grandparents where we've been hurt, we've been abused. And you're asking me to walk in forgiveness? Yeah. We want God to forgive us of our sins. We want our minds to be transformed, that we live from a place of pre-forgiveness. We turn the other cheek when we've been hurt. The transformed mind, where the Holy Spirit is in control, extends forgiveness and grace to others. Number six, the transformed mind is confident and thankful. I remind you, you are royalty. You are kingdom royalty. So a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords should walk with a certain amount of confidence. Your head up, your shoulders back, your chin up. Not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is in you. The Bible says that we're allowed to come into his very presence. Hebrews chapter 4 says, come boldly, boldly, with confidence into the very throne of our gracious God. And if we do, if we come boldly before, we're going to find mercy. We're going to find grace, and he's going to help us where we need it most. So godly thinking gives us a boldness, a confidence that we are going into the very presence of God, even though we don't deserve to be there. You think about guys like King David, or I mentioned Moses. These men, they loved God, they honored God, they worshiped God, but they were not allowed in his presence. So the fact that we, because of the blood of Jesus who has removed our sin, because we are allowed to walk into the very presence of God, we should do so with confidence, but we should balance it with thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven me of my sin. Thank you, God, that you've adopted me into your family. Thank you, God, that you love me so much that you enter in, you give me this place to enter into your presence. And that I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to keep myself on the outside because the Lord is calling us to the inside, to an intimate, personal relationship with him. That it's not a religion. It's a relationship of intimacy that he wants us to be in. Thank you, Lord, that I walk in overwhelming victory because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. Thank you, Lord, that the Bible says I am the head and not the tail. We have confidence, but we balance it with gratitude. Quick recap. The transformed mind is full of hope, thinks the impossible is possible, is at peace and does not worry, likes themselves and rejoices when we're weak, forgives others and extends grace, is confident and thankful, and finally this, the transformed mind believes in others, gives people the benefit of the doubt. The transformed mind is looking for the best and not the worst in other people. The transformed mind says, listen, I don't know what their motives are, but I know that they're created in the image of God, and I bless them and I honor them. We are not called to be the world's policemen. We don't know what other people are thinking. I barely know what I'm thinking from day to day. So who am I to judge the thoughts and motives of other people? No, we might not always agree with their actions, but we're not supposed to condemn them or judge them. We believe the best. The transformed mind believes the best in others, is looking for the best in others. And here's the deal. A mind that has not been transformed by the Holy Spirit is suspicious and is always looking for the worst in people. And the funny thing about suspicion is we're usually projecting our own inadequacies, our own weaknesses on other people. We assume everybody's lying because we struggle with the truth. We assume everybody else is lusting because we struggle with purity in our heart and our mind. We assume everybody else gets angry and yells at people because we struggle with self-discipline and self-control. But when the Holy Spirit is in control, we find the good in other people. And usually when you allow to look through the perspective of heaven, the good far outweighs the bad. So when we look at other people, we believe the best. We're not suspicious of their past. We focus on the teachings of Jesus. Our minds are renewed to think heaven's thoughts. Our lives are transformed. We're totally different. We're totally new creations in Christ because we're not thinking on a worldly level. We're thinking on a heavenly level. Our sinful thoughts, we stop thinking those thoughts. We stop feeling those emotions. They stop becoming real to us, and the reality of heaven becomes real to us. And we begin trusting the gauges of heaven. Because for far too long, we believed our feelings more than we believed the Word of God. And we think we're flying the Christian life this way, but instead we're upside down and about to crash our plane. Earlier, I read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, about destroying human reasoning. Let me read you verse 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we do what, church? Take every thought captive. And we take that thought and we make it obey Christ. We need to learn to take every thought that comes across our mind captive and put little thought handcuffs on it and take it to thought jail and say, you need to learn to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ because I've been created to be a new person in him. I don't think like that anymore. I don't think angry thoughts anymore. I don't think fearful thoughts or lonely thoughts or lustful thoughts. I don't think deception. I think what the Holy Spirit's leading me to think. I've studied the teachings of Jesus and he is transforming my whole life to be more like him. If that helped you this morning, hop up on your feet. I want to pray for you. I want you to use those seven things to examine your thoughts. You might be doing, hey, 1, 3, 5, and 7, I have overcome. I feel like I'm doing great. The Lord is like, hey, bro, 2, 4, and 6, we got to work on. Some people are like, Lord, I need a 1 through 7 overhaul of my thought life. Some people are like, I'm so saved, all 7 are amazing. You liar, that's one of them right there. See, we all struggle with our thought life. We can all do better. God's always like, come on, we can think better. We can think better about ourselves. We can think better about others. We can think better of faith, of the supernatural. So we're going to worship in a minute. And I want you to, yeah, sing and worship, but I also want you to wrestle these things out with God. Lord, which one of those do I need to work on the most? And let God begin to transform your life from the inside out. But can I tell you something? None of this works until you die to your old life, until you die to your sin and make Jesus the Lord of your life. You can't think like royalty if you're still acting like an orphan. So today is your day to get right with God. I haven't even addressed you guys online. Hi, online people. Today is your day of salvation. You're watching this little YouTube thing on your phone or your TV and your heart is pounding out of your chest. That's God. He's like, come on, baby. Today is your day to have your sins washed away, to receive the gift of life, of adoption into the family of God. He's gonna begin the process of transforming you into a whole new creation, but it starts by surrendering your life to Jesus. So whether you're online or you're here in the crowd this morning, I wanna lead you in that prayer. Now, it might be the first time in your life you've prayed this prayer, like you've never been like a Jesus person. You got invited to church today and you're like, I don't know what's happening, but I feel clammy and sweaty and it's not just the weather. I feel my heart pounding out of my chest. I feel like I'm supposed to get right with God today. Yeah, you are. And maybe you're like, dude, I've been out of church for a long time. I remember going to church camp as a kid or youth group or college group. And I remember, you know, maybe praying that prayer once, but it's been a minute. You've allowed your heart to grow cold. You've grown further away from God. You've allowed sin back into your life. Today is your day to repent of your sin. Either it's the first time or maybe the first time in a long time. It'd be my highest honor to lead you in that prayer. I mean, it's your prayer, but I'll help you. I'll lead you. If you're here this morning and you're watching online and you need to get right with God, you want to pray that prayer. You want to ask God to forgive you of your sin and receive that gift of eternal life and make Jesus the Lord of your life and the Lord of your thoughts. If that's you this morning, would you shoot your hand up real high and just say, preacher, that's me. I need to get right with God today. Lord, I've got to get right. Maybe right there in your living room, you're like, you just shoot your hand up and say, I've got to pray this prayer and get right with God today. I've got to repent of my sin and make Jesus the Lord of my life. Nobody here in the room this morning, nobody online. Golly, normally, last week, 6 people got right with God. I guess we got everybody in Euless born again last week. Well, we're going to pray the prayer for the sake of those that are watching online. You're probably sitting there in your living room, hand up high. Maybe you're too chicken because I didn't make... Would it have felt better if I'd have closed your eyes and bow your head? Is that what preachers are supposed to do? Listen, Jesus was hung naked on a cross for you in front of all of Jerusalem. If you can't raise your hand and get right with God in front of a room full of people that love you, come on, somebody. I'm not here to play patty cake. I'm here to help people get to heaven. So I'll lead you in the prayer. Chicken or not, God still loves you and he'll still forgive you of your sin. If you're at home or you're here in the room and you believe this in your heart, pray it out loud. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Renew my mind to the things of heaven. Help me, Lord, to live holy. So transform my life. Transform my thoughts. I receive the gift of eternal life, of adoption into the family of God. So help me, Lord, to think like kingdom royalty. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sin. In Jesus' name. What do you say, church? And I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of you guys right there. Come on, somebody. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want you to reach back into the seat back in front of you and fill out our Connect card. Drop it in the offering bucket on your way out the door in a few minutes. If you're watching at home online, I want you to text the name Jesus to 817-405-2244. You're going to get an auto response back. Fill out that form and then click submit because I want one of our pastors to begin to pray for you. We've got this wall over here. We call it the Jesus wall. Every one of these light bulbs is somebody in the last year who has surrendered their life to Jesus. And I'm just so excited of all the people that have gotten right with God. So if that's you this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to screw in a light bulb. If that's you watching at home online, fill out that Connect card, click submit, because we want to screw in a light bulb with your name on it on that Jesus wall. I'd like our prayer team to come down, and we're going to give you an opportunity to receive prayer if you need prayer for any reason. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, either for the first time or maybe you've recommitted your life to the Lord. Maybe you're at home online and you're going to be in church in the next few weeks. You need to get baptized in water. You saw Tammy and Mitch get baptized today. They're making that public declaration of what God's done in their heart. And it's your very next step. We read it all throughout the New Testament. The next thing would be to get involved in a church. I happen to know a great church that you're already in, so you're halfway there. And that we do that through our Growth Track program. Today is Growth Track. Well, here's what we're doing. Today is Growth Track 2 and 3 because of the huge winter storm we had 2 weeks ago. We combined 2 and 3 today. So we had 19 people in Growth Track 1 last Sunday, people joining our church, man. We're so excited. We're so glad you're joining us. So if you've taken Growth Track 1, stick around right after service for Growth Track 2 and 3. Everybody else, then join Growth Track 1 the first Sunday, I think it's February 7th or 6th or 7th, in just a couple of weeks. We'll get you started on your journey with us.